Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Champs Are Last, the podcast where we just chat shit about wrestling. I'm Andrew, and as always, I'm joined by my mate Lee. How are you, fella? You good?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, I am, mate. I am pretty good. I enjoy the fact that off air we both admitted to the fact that neither of us are wearing underwear.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. So it's going to be an interesting episode.
Humid today, mate, I was telling you.
It is sweaty, man. Cool, blimey. It's not even sunny today.
Oh, it's just hot as hell.
Yep.
And also, you've not noticed my fresh trim.
Have you been back to a certain place?
Or no, I haven't.
You absolutely just gone back.
I went to Skull and Chin.
Unbelievable. Did they do your chin as well?
No.
No point. You want to go back.
I did my own.
Well done.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Just all the listeners at home, I did just shove my chin into my camera, so that little bit of dead air there was showing my chin to Lee on camera, despite the fact that we don't actually keep the recording of that. So, yeah, great content.
Yeah. Our friend that recommended it to me, he's actually Big Man on Campus in there. Said I knew him. They were like, oh, you know him. Then proceeded to
I'd like to point out
to give it large about it.
If you were to go to Room 101, you get the same thing because you know me, and they go, "Oh yeah, you know Andrew." I'm like, "Yeah, you're on."
Yeah, so, but whenever I go in there, I mainly talk about your sister.
Oh, I mean that's the same I go in because I'm very dull. No one wants to talk about me, Christ. Oh, right. Shall we get to it?
Let's get to it, because I've got a feeling this will be a very interesting episode.
It could be. Could be. So, we had NXT in your house. Overall,
I actually forgot about that when we were doing the...
I know, you did.
Having a little chat. Literally about it.
I enjoyed the show. I thought it was a nice, easy watch. Good shit happened. Nothing spectacular, but it's good shit.
Because I watched it the day afterwards, even though I was planning to watch it live, struggled to get into it.
Okay.
Don't know why, because good match quality, good storytelling. The Fatal 5-Way was maybe a bit overbooked, but what you're going to do in that scenario, really?
Yeah, there's five of six of the biggest guys there, because obviously Finn's not involved, so... Yeah, you've got to make sure that everybody is doing something in that. I thought it was a great ladder match. It's always good storytelling, some nice different spots as well.
It got a few negative reviews online, and I'm not really sure why, to be honest. Okay, and there wasn't really any flippy shit that you've become accustomed to. But
neither of those two guys are.
But I thought it was... really good storytelling, to be fair.
Yeah.
And Cameron Grimes is now officially over as a babyface.
And it's incredible.
Like, you would literally put him as number one babyface at the moment, based on crowd reaction. Because you know that. And they've got a full crowd there now, so.
Yeah, that crowd have turned him. I think they totally got him over. And I'm okay with it. I've got no problems. For me, match of the night was the winner takes all 6-man tag.
Yeah, they started that off pretty hot, and then I think in my mind, I think they struggled to keep pace with that match. Then okay. I think that's where it lost a bit of steam, essentially. But saying that, I did enjoy the Ember Moon.
Raquel Gonzalez. Yeah.
Solid match.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was nice to see Ember back in that singles competition and and getting back to the sort of matches she had in NXT before, with the likes of obviously Asuka and Nikki Cross around that time.
I mean, I was still half expecting Dakota Kai to turn on her hands on this. I've been preempting that for the past 6 weeks, and each week that passes, I'm like, it's getting closer, surely. It's getting closer.
Yeah, because it's strange, because in this week's episode, it's still, you know, oh, my girl needs to get some gold. This one belt just isn't enough for me. And
to be honest, I thought that was a bit cuntish.
There's still going to be some tension there of, you know, Dakota Kai still doesn't really have a belt. They had those tag belts for 5 minutes. And that bullshit booking that I don't want to get back into, because I don't want to be getting fucking hot again.
So yeah, it was a good takeover. Be interesting to see what they do at the American Bash.
It's in like 2 weeks.
3 weeks. We give it 3 weeks.
Sorry, 3 weeks, yeah.
And then I did read the rumoured date for the next takeover, but I can't remember when it was. Because I was hoping they would do it on the Thursday night before SummerSlam. And then go take over SmackDown, SummerSlam.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
Or even do it on the Sunday. And go SummerSlam takeover Raw. Because, you know, something needs to boost Raw. I'm not even talking about this week. Jesus Christ. It's making the most positive man on YouTube, Simon Miller, just go, this is shit. Like, why not just repeating themselves?
I saw somebody with a headline in the video of WWE should cancel Monday Night Raw. It's that bad. They should genuinely, Peacock should fucking cancel it. And go, wow, good shit.
Yeah, it really is that bad. I mean, I start with good intentions to try and watch it every week.
It's more than me.
And then I'm just like, get like 20 minutes into it of a lot of fast forwarding. And I'm like, oh, no, this is just too much. I just watch the ups and downs on YouTube. Just so I know what's going on.
Yeah, standard. Well, all we really need to know from this week anyway is Raw's loss is NXT's gain, as Samoa Joe is now back on NXT.
Yeah, it was the NXT enforcer,
pretty much. Yeah,
I think that's his. I think that's his job title now.
Yeah,
just to scare the living shit out of the roster, because Regal wasn't intimidating enough, which I find hard to believe. To be honest, I've met the dude; he's fucking intimidating. Nicest bloke on earth, but fucking intimidating.
His hands were massive.
He's deceptively a very big man.
They were absolutely massive. But good dude. The internet rumors were true. Samoa Joe's coming back, and there he is. I ruined it for myself a little bit, because for some reason I decided I was going to go on the internet on Wednesday morning.
To be honest, I woke up halfway through the show, was tempted to put it on, and so I went on Twitter. So basically, spoiled it for myself, which is fine.
Yeah.
And Twitter was buzzing about that whole LA Knight Cameron Grimes segment.
It's good shit.
It was some good shit, man. Fucking loved that segment.
Because for me, probably the best LA Knight has been that genuine kayfabe breaking promo of him just going, this is the best thing that's happened in my career. Ted, I've been watching you since I was a wee lad. You know, someone was always pretending to be you when we were wrestling in the backyard. And in my mind, I was going, nah, but he's going to do something because he's still a prick. That's the whole point here. And unless Ted does something to keep them both here, I was like, And it just worked perfectly that he was going to obviously mentor Cameron more so. Just good shit, man. I'm happy with it.
I mean, like, even watching it back and I knew what was coming, it did still feel like a genuine, heartfelt sort of promo.
It did.
And then, like, when he turned to him, I was like, oh, what a prick. Well, this has done exactly what it was intended to. So, fair play.
You know, you're almost as much of a prick as Adam Cole is right now, and that's saying something in NXT, you know?
Also, NXT are low-key giving us a dream match next week. In Kushida versus Kyle O'Reilly. I was like, do you not want to put that on a takeover? It's pretty good.
It's literally pre-show fluffer. That's what it is right now.
It's not even 2 weeks' time. It's like, literally, you can have this next week.
Yeah.
I was like, delightful. Because when I saw Nat, and then if you remember, I texted you going, that's not what I saw on the internet.
Sure.
I literally thought it was Kyle O'Reilly versus Kushida at Great American Bash.
See.
Or like the next takeover, which they might have announced. And I was like, well, yeah, just sign me up for that because that's amazing. That
instead we're getting Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly again, but this time in an actual sanctioned match.
Yeah.
Cheers, Reeks.
Yeah, and they've kind of done the Edge Randy Orton booking on it. I've had a no holds barred match to begin with, and then they're just going for a straight wrestling match. Well, no, this could probably be dubbed the best wrestling match ever, and more people would believe it.
Oh, Christ.
And then I presume if it follows down the same path, Kyle O'Reilly will get injured and be out for like a year again, and then I'll just pick it up when I left off. There was one annoying bit about this week's NXT. The result of the main event.
Yes, absolutely buried, mate.
I want to say buried, you know, and I still main evented the show.
Yeah, so now they've been beaten in a high profile match.
Yeah.
At a main event. So now it's obvious that they're like bottom of the pile again. You're going to have Hit Row versus Everon next week in a squash match.
In fairness, good shit.
Yeah, I know.
To be honest, Everon's actually made me laugh the past couple of weeks.
You know, it's going to do what it needs to. They're just going to have that squash match, build Hit Row up. And to me, they're more likely to be getting chances against MSK and the like.
And then
Grizzled Young Veterans will now.
But also, like, Grizzled Young Veterans, if we're going to follow the NXT path of booking, Grizzled Young Veterans can keep losing and still somehow end up in the title match. Because Adam Cole's not won since December. I mean, that's a Cole streak. Santos Escobar has somehow managed to talk himself into a North American title shot. But this time, one-on-one. And I was like...
You squashed me 2 weeks in a row. The one week, you put me through a wall, but me and you, 1-on-1. It's the best time to do it. Reeves is distracted. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's been flapping it for the past 2 or 3 weeks. He's all dehydrated from his tears, and so he's not thinking straight. But Joe's just there to choke people out.
Joe's still learning the ropes. I did partly think when they both walked out together that something was going to happen. Instead, they just got in the car. I thought maybe Joe was going to lay him out or something.
It's a bit early for that.
Yeah.
It's a bit early.
But, you know, I was expecting a little something else. Like Finn Balor to wind down the window and just go, jump in, lads.
Okay.
You know, should have done something with it instead of them kind of driving off into essentially the sunset together.
I would enjoy a Samoa Joe William Regal tag team.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It'd be some funny shit.
That tag team would be insured.
That'd just be some funny shit. One last point on NXT before we move on to Hell in a Cell predictions. I would like to praise the work of Mackenzie Mitchell at the moment. I think she's doing some good shit on there. Nice Breezy interviews, breath of fresh air as she goes to the show. Just,
I know. Yeah. Quite a few talents, and I know calling them Mac.
Yeah, exactly. There are nice little touches and things that are going on that kind of makes me reminiscent of the times of, you know, Greg Hamilton being there and stuff, and, you know, doing the same things before. So, no, it's some good shit at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously, congratulations to Renee on the birth of a daughter.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, good shit. Good.
Even WWE released a little statement.
Wow. We all know Vince doesn't know what social media is. So.
Yeah.
So didn't you mention, put it on your Twitch stream, you're okay.
Didn't mention John Moxley in any way, shape, or form in the statement.
Good. Right. So, we have Hell in the Cell this Sunday.
Yeah. Just a spoiler alert, I'm not watching that shit live.
No.
It was a SmackDown Presents Hell in the Cell. it would stand more chance.
Yeah, can we just have the entire SmackDown roster and Pat McAfee calling the matches the whole night? Fine, but no. Nah. So, would you like me to do it? No, you know what? I'm going to do this one in
Just do it in whatever order Wikipedia says.
No, do it any order
I'm not bothered because WWE is not bothered. This is actually in the last pay-per-view before when I can have crowds back. They really do not give a fuck. And now they're doing the pay-per-view because Peacock needs it.
Mm. So,
I paid handsomely for it, I should say.
We have Alexa Bliss versus Shayna Baszler in just a singles match.
Am I meant to care about this? Is the doll involved? Lily? There you go. Bit of knowledge there for you. Or did she get binned off last week? I'm pretty sure she ended up in the bin.
She is done. And would you like to know the reason why? I'm pretty sure it's because they're looking to go back on the road again and do live shows, like house shows.
Yes, and they can't get away with some of the bullshit they're doing now.
Yeah,
and that's not even due to fan reaction. It's just we can't do some of the special effects.
I don't know how we can run this shit out of house show. I'm going, but this screams of house show bollocks. If you were to wrestle an actual doll at a house show, I would find it entertaining. That would be funny. You put that on your actual Monday Night product, and like you could fuck off and change the channel.
What I will say is I will be watching, not live, the day after. I will be watching the first live Raw.
Oh,
just to see how the crowd...
Yeah.
Just to see how the crowd takes to this
this
level of shit when they announce Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre for the sixth pay-per-view in a row. Even though that is technically a stipulation. But, you know, they can always work around these blockades that they put in for themselves.
Ridiculous. Jesus Christ.
I'm going Bliss.
I'm going to listen Bliss because it's similar logic to Zia Lee having to win against Mercedes Martinez. It's the only logic I have to that match.
My logic is now they've invested a lot of time, effort, and money into Alexa Bliss. And they've put fuck all into Shayna Baszler recently.
Well, true.
Jobbed out to Reginald the other week. So, you know.
Jesus Christ. But Bray, what? So the Fiend rarely ever fucking would. So I don't know how on earth they booked that shit. But who cares? I'm going to Alexa Bliss. Let's move on. We're going to move on to two ladies' matches that, you know, might actually be good. I'll start with Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair in a singles match for the Raw Women's Championship for what seems like the thousandth time.
Rhea retains.
Yeah, just because.
Just because I don't want Charlotte winning the belt.
It's the same old thing.
I kind of want, I don't know, Nikki Cross to go up against Rhea Ripley next. or like Piper Niven.
Might still be a bit soon for Piper Niven.
No. Now give us some bullshit name. Let us squash a few people. Then that Money in the Bank, she'll get destroyed by Rhea Ripley.
Mm.
And then that'll be the end of the push.
Don't need a crystal ball
for this shit.
So is she not going by the Niven at the moment? Is that why Michael Cole is... No. It was, it didn't know who the fuck she was.
Jimmy Smith.
There you go. Like, nobody knew who the fuck she was.
Because
yeah, NXT don't even UK watch, is not canon.
Don't even watch her own product, it
seems. Classic. It's not canon. We don't give a fuck who this person is. We're going to not... And it's dumb, because you're not even... telling the casual fan who it is. So yeah. How is that casual fan then supposed to care?
Yeah. How am I supposed to be invested from any given point when your own commentators are going, who is this?
Yeah.
I mean, I presume she didn't make an entrance through the crowd. You know, I presume she didn't push back the monitors.
Huh?
And then Naomi was just there waiting to be jobbed in the ring. Which, you know, Give Naomi a Chance was trending. Not for me. Don't give a shit. If anything, move it to SmackDown because I think they need women. I think that roster's bare.
To be fair, if they really want to, she is married to one of the Usos. That storyline writes itself in there. Give her something to fucking do. Be beautiful.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense than...
They're already working on real-life stuff, you know, and playing on the fact they are genuinely related and not pretending that they're not.
So, yeah, I've got Rhea winning that one. Sure. And Bianca Belair winning the SmackDown one.
Same. Bayley doesn't need a belt at the moment.
Yeah, and she's also... been there, done that. That feud is currently built around laughing.
I know.
I mean, they're going to put on a good match. Just let them put on a good match. You know, fine. I guess. But
we only think it's going to be a good match because we already know what those two can do. If you go again back to the casual fan, you book nothing to give me this match.
Yeah, I mean, if you just put an episode of SmackDown on in that segment, it's okay for us because we know the characters and it's fine.
Yeah.
But if you were like just flicking through, you want to watch wrestling for the first time, bad time to pick, but you know.
Well, it's not to watch
NXT. And if you're just seeing that, you'd just be like, no, like this is just too weird. Exactly. I mean, you know, it'll probably cut to Pat McAfee playing a guitar or something, and you'd be like, okay, sold.
Pat McAfee, the man with the world record hardest kick ever football.
Yeah. Don't want him smashing in the bollocks then.
124 miles an hour. It's mad. You want to see him ping it off the crossbar? Fuck yeah.
No, thank you.
So that brings us to the first Hell in a Cell match, which is a last chance Hell in a Cell for the WWE Championship of Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre, because supposedly if Drew doesn't win this time, he can't challenge Bobby again for the title. Well, so I praise the Lord Bobby wins. If Drew wins, just see
with Bobby Lashley's other three rematches over the next 3 months. I'm going Bobby retain. Let him do something fresh.
Both men just need a different feud, man.
Basically, let him
do something else.
I want the rumours to be true that they're going to make it big for SummerSlam, like as big as a WrestleMania. And then we get Bobby Lashley versus Brock. And Cena versus Reigns. If they do that, I'm buzzing. Because one, it's a Saturday night. Which means I can stay up and watch it without feeling like dog shit on the Monday.
Yeah, because we're old.
And those would be two great matches. But to be honest, I'd quite happily watch a feud between Lashley and Umberto Carrillo at this point, because they've done Lashley McIntyre to death.
I mean, if he wrestles Umberto Carrillo, he's definitely going to get some sort of facial injury.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like, he would just die.
Jesus. Okay, and then finally, Roman Reigns up against Rey Mysterio in a Hell in a Cell for Universal Championship.
Does anyone think Ray's going to win? Andrew,
no,
open forum.
I don't in any way, but I think it will be a good match.
Oh no, it did make me laugh. Have you seen the video of Roman Reigns just powerbombing Dominic out the ring? Like zero fucks given.
No, I don't think I've seen that.
Literally launches him over the top rope.
Oh, amazing.
Literally yeets him out the fucking ring. Like, doesn't give a shit. And yeah, and this obviously pissed Ray off so much, he demanded a Hell in a Cell match.
Sure. I don't care.
Now, my pet peeve about this, Andrew.
Yeah, grind your gears.
Yeah. Trust me, there's going to be a lot of that.
This oh, I'm aware. Well.
Hell in a Cell used to be like a big, important thing. When they used to announce a Hell in a Cell, it used to be like, you know, this is big time shit. Nowadays, Ray rocks up and goes, I want a Hell in a Cell match against you, and like,
and Vince has gone, yeah.
I mean, like, oh, fuck's sake. You know, a Hell in a Cell used to be one match, maybe every 18 months.
Oh, when I'm playing GM mode, mate, I am waiting for a big pay-per-view before I'm putting a Hell in a Cell match on. And yeah, it's because I've built like a 6-week feud beforehand.
Yeah, it's a special match type and I've just fucking ruined it over and over again. Same with TLC, same with any other match branded pay-per-view.
Oh, TLC, yeah. I couldn't give a shit about anymore. They seem so generic now.
But that should have been the case. And it does piss me off and grind my gears, Andrew. Anyway, Reigns retains.
Oh, God, yeah. Jesus.
I would much rather it would have been like Usos versus Reigns in a handicap match. I think that would have been more
interesting. Bit soon for that.
Maybe no dude at Money in the Bank. Maybe. Well, no, did you come up with the idea of Jey Uso winning Money in the Bank? And then basically having like gaslight Roman, like he's been doing it to Roman. Someone in the group mentioned it.
I don't think that was mine.
It's a good idea.
It is. That is a very good idea. Yeah.
You know, better than Otis.
The clean shaven Otis now.
Ugh. It's like you clean shaven. You fucking.
It's not fucking right, is it?
And I can't even remember who Wonder Woman's one. Andrew? No, it was Oscar on it, because like Becky Lynch just went, I'll take that. You have the belt. See you later. That was a shoot, wasn't it?
Pretty much.
Cool. Not what I'm not so bitchy about, because, you know, pregnancy.
Yeah. And I wouldn't want to get kicked by Oscar.
No, definitely not. Nah. So that's got our blood pressure up, Andrew. So thanks for that.
It's cool.
Do you want to talk about NXT Takeover Respect?
Well, that got you all riled up, son. Yes. Yeah. Let's head back to 2015, sometime in the fall, I think. Late summer, early fall, like June, probably the time now. For NXT Respect, we have returned to Full Sail. It is the start. Well, no, sorry, it's not the start. It's actually the end of the inaugural Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, as well as culminating in a 30-minute Iron Man match between Sasha Banks and Bayley.
Yeah.
So on paper, got some good shit going for
Yeah, in reality, no.
Well, we will see. But on paper, it's got some good shit sort of going on for it. We start with Finn Balor and one Joe of the Samoan variety versus two young lads who are dressed as mechanics. That's right. The mechanics of Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder.
Yeah.
And the irony being, I genuinely know which one is Scott Dawson, which one is Dash Wilder. I'm still unsure which one is Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler.
Yeah. Now, just build a Dash and Dawson, which was a bit weird.
No, I didn't mind that. I knew it was Dash and Dawson. I would call them that. It's easier to call them that.
They had no revival music.
So, yeah.
But like nothing else, and I was like, "Oh, and this is
that's what's weird." So they said they were booked as the mechanics. If because would you like me to give you the full card? Or would you like me to wait until the second semi final?
Do it after the second semi, because okay. I did actually look at this last night.
Yeah. I like that we're actually doing work for this now.
When I was like, they could have maybe done this a bit better.
Well, we will see, won't we? It's strange that their actual champion is in this competition. That seems a bit strange in itself. One, that why would your champion be held up, pissing around in a tournament or something? That's weird in itself. Honestly, it does end up with Joe versus. Balor, but still, it's a very long way to get to that.
They could have done so many different things and just let this be a tag tournament.
Yeah, when we get to see the people that are in the tournament, I'm going, it's four lads that, you know, obviously all go to the gym. No one's denying that. They're all probably strong in their own ways.
Yeah.
But you've got three lads and then Finn.
Yeah, I mean, Finn's like,
he stood out a bit in that crowd.
Finn looks like he's never touched a carb compared to those.
Those three. He makes those three look like sort of three slovenly, doughy physiques you've ever seen.
Oh no, Dash Wilder will knock people the fuck out, as you saw in the
Hall of Fame. Hell yeah.
I'm not going to fuck with either four of them, to be honest.
No, not at all. I have a note for after the second semi when we go through the bracket, to be fair. There was one little thing that I was also a little bit confused about. It was booked really as tag team technicians.
Yeah.
Obviously with the mechanics, because I'm not going to call them the revival look. Against two stars.
Yeah.
But then it was weird because I said finish champ. So if he gets all this way but then loses in a semi-final or a final, depending on whoever goes afterwards, on a pay-per-view, he's going to look weak as shit.
Yeah. I wouldn't have booked Finn in this for shit, to be honest.
You book yourself into a corner. I watching it back, it was only now that I went, but he's already champ. So
yeah,
he has to win unless he gets screwed over by his partner.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's when like Joe turns on him then, and that's how he gets booked over.
Dealing with the cards we had dealt in this opener, I would have literally had the whole knee injury scenario go again. Like that was fine. I would have had Finn tag himself in to do the coup de grace.
Sure.
Hit the coup de grace.
Yeah.
Fine. But then his knee gives way. And then you give the mechanics, you know, we'll go along with the correct name in this time. I would literally have him get rolled up and then just lose that way. And then I'd have the Samoa Joe
turn pissy about it.
On Finn there. And then that's it. But I wouldn't have put Finn in this match. No. So, yeah, I would have had the mechanics go over.
Okay.
Yeah, Don't Care was your two biggest stars.
Okay, interesting. Okay. All right.
I would have put the tag team over. I'm fully aware I'm sounding more like you than you.
I know, yeah. Because to be fair, that this one isn't what I think that. Where when we get to the second semi, I'd feel slightly different.
Yeah, just don't. Just really don't.
So, yeah.
And to be honest, didn't really enjoy the match. It took me two attempts to watch this show.
Indeed. Well, yes, because if we go back to last week, you know, when we both like, why have we already watched this before? It was strange because when I put it on, it was in the middle of the third match of the night. So I don't know why we'd got to that point. And you know what that third match is. When we get to it, it's going to look really weird that for some reason we got to there.
Yeah.
Why did we go back to watch that? So.
Yeah, because when I watched it back the other night, I literally made it halfway through in the first match.
Yeah, because that's when I put it back on. I was like, okay, so I obviously took it back to the start. There wasn't really much to the match, to be fair.
It was telling the story in the knee, which is fine and all that shit, but the match was a bit shit.
Yeah, because like I said, it didn't feel like it was two tag teams. It was a tag team against two of your biggest stars there, so it was just two wrestlers. So
also, as well, even the mechanics hit the shatter machine on Finn, they could have literally just got round it by going, these are an elite tag team.
It's the fucking shatter machine. They didn't even try it, did they?
They will always be a good singles competitor because they're an elite tag team. Anyway, fuck it. On to the next match.
So on to the second semi-finals.
Yeah.
Chad Gable and Jason Jordan. I'm not sure if they were known as the American Alpha at that point.
I was going to ask you the same thing because I was like, I wasn't sure.
No, I think that was later on because they're still relatively new.
Because he was still Ready, Willing and Gable, wasn't he?
Oh, I like that. I did enjoy that. Should bring that back. That's a good shit. Versus Rhino and Baron Corbin. So that's Rhino and Baron Corbin who are going down the Sheamus and Cesaro route of, we've had a couple of matches together. You're a big dude. I'm a big dude. You know what? If we team up, we might be able to smash some people. But Lee, they're not quite the bar.
Yeah.
They're not the bar.
Do you want me to get more of my venom out? And it does ease from this point. I'm not going to lie. It's just these two semi-finals.
I think I might be able to speak my mind more coherently and then you will probably agree with what I say. But I feel I might be a little more level-headed in how I say it. Jordan and Gable are over. Those boys are over. As much as we then learn about 2-3 months later in Blackpool, those lads are fucking over. Very similar to the first semi-final where, if anything, even more tag team technicians, as Chad Gable is a fucking star at the moment. He is kind of in the Kalisto role of, you've got four guys in the tag team match, but there's one guy that's standing out, you know.
Gable to being like Montez Ford and then Jason Jordan literally having that Angelo Dawkins role.
Well, it's funny because we will get to the bracket and a certain Angelo Dawkins might
have
lost in that first round. And I almost get the booking a little bit more in this one again, and I can see why they did it, because as much as I would be a lot more excited with a Finn Balor, Samoa Joe versus Jordan Gable in the final, I think that would have been a lot more exciting. I didn't give a shit about the final at all. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but
yeah,
because it ended up just being, oh, it's just four guys. Neither of these are a tag team. And this is supposed to be a tag team classic, like the whole thing win a tag team tournament. But they're not. And that rolls on me a little bit. And did anyone ever think that Corbin and Rhino were going to win, you know, against Joe and Balor? No. I mean, I probably wouldn't have thought that Gable and Jordan would, but I would have thought it more because they're an actual tag team. I think they might be able to do something. But I can see why they got overmatched by the power, because it does still make sense that if Corbin just catches certainly someone like Gable, who's smaller, with like the end of days, it should be over. You know, unless Jordan can, you know, come in and break up the tag, that should be the end of the match.
Yeah.
But because they did, you know, knock him out of the ring and then get scored by it. So it did make sense that in that case. But
right. I'll give you my one positive for the match. The finish was phenomenal.
Yeah.
That end of days was fucking brutal and it looked amazing. So there's a one positive. But then, bearing in mind we're watching a Dusty Rhodes tag team classic and the whole aim was to put tag teams over, the finals could have been the Mechanics / Revival against American Alpha. This would have got both teams over more quickly and made the classic mean more. Which is literally the whole fucking point.
Yeah.
I mean, I still don't like it now when I do it. And if you think back to when Pete Dunne and Riddle won it. Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the stick. But
it got old quick.
I'd rather see actual tag teams do tag team wrestling. Not just let's jimmy some people together and see what we can do. Now, can I try guessing some of the teams in this in the bracket? Because I only briefly had a glance.
Okay.
Like, the Andrew Dawkins one. I ain't got a clue who his partner is.
Well, okay. So, Andrew Dawkins and his partner Sawyer Fulton.
That was a thing. Not a good thing, but that was a thing.
No, I mean, thank the Lord, Montez Ford went to that tryout. They lost to Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy.
Fine.
Finn Balor and Samoa Joe beat the Lucha Dragons in the first round, which I can see why. Again, one, because Finn's fucking champ. But Kalisto and Sin Cara have already moved on, so
Possibly.
Who cares? So that meant that.
It made me laugh who Rhino and Corbs beat in the first round, I think.
When I get to that, it's on the next page, also on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah.
So that made up the first quarterfinal of Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy versus Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. The other first round match, you had Blake and Murphy. Bear in mind, Blake and Murphy, who were the second longest reigning champions, lose in the first round to the Vaude Villains.
Okay.
Who are still champs?
Yeah, Vaude Villains are still tag champs. Okay, fine. They're tag champs. They deserve to.
Sure.
You know.
So they make it through the first round, at least.
Kind of do well in the tag team class.
Yeah, you know, they make it through the first round. The first round match for the Mechanics, so the final match in that bracket, they were up against Tucker Knight and Elias Samson.
Wow.
There is a random team.
Well, you may need to go back and do some research just for my pure entertainment.
Sure.
Was Elias a drifter then?
Ooh.
I want to know what gimmick he's got. We should have watched it earlier.
I know, we should have gone in between and watched the bracket. I might still do that, to be honest.
Well, you know, we've got some time tomorrow.
Just for some good shit. So that meant that the other quarterfinal on that bracket would have been the Vaude Villains versus the Mechanics. So the second half of the bracket, the first round, is the Hype Bros of Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley.
Yeah.
Who went over Alexander Wolf and Noah Kikoa, who is Kona Reeves.
Okay. Thank you for filling that one in.
You're welcome. I did have to check that because I didn't know if he had a previous name.
On a side note, Andrew, Kona Reeves is due back in NXT because he's been injured for the past 15 months.
Ah, was it injured? Okay. I did see a tweet. I was thinking maybe he's going to be on that Diamond Mine.
Possibly, yeah, because Nat starts next week.
So I don't know if I'll put two and two together to get five there, but I did think that maybe turns a dollar. But yeah, he got beaten the first round after partnering Alexander Wolf, which I thought was a strange partnership, but okay. Jason Jordan and Chad Gable, they had to beat Neville and Solomon Crow in the first round.
Yeah.
That was a good match, to be fair.
That's an interesting partnership.
Yeah.
I presume Neville's already died once on the main roster.
There's two disgruntled members of the roster, isn't it? Brilliant. So that quarterfinal is the Hype Bros versus Jordan and Gable. Fuck me. This one pissed me off as well. So this meshed together team of Baron Corbin and Rhino that got all the way to the final.
Yeah, didn't maybe Jesus two very big stars. Huh?
They beat the fucking Ascension in the first round. Oh, it's Neo.
Yeah.
And then in the quarterfinal, they...
In fairness, it was pretty much a squash match as well from what I was saying in commentary.
Marvellous. Jesus Christ. And then in their quarterfinal, they were up against Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa in the early days of DIY. Because they had beaten Tyler Breeze and Bull Dempsey in the first round. Despite the fact that Bull Dempsey's definitely an Ugo?
Yeah. Isn't that what kickstarted Bullfit?
Boom! Probably.
Because I'm pretty sure he got called an Ugo. And he was like, right, I'm going to get fit. And then Regal started making him run up some stairs.
Oh, God, yeah. To be honest, Reeks making him do shuttle runs was good shit. Oh, yeah. So, the quarterfinal of Baron Corbin versus Rhino and Johnny Gargano and Ciampa obviously went the way of Corbin and Rhino. Oh, Jesus Christ. Ben Lee, we could have had a semi-final of Jordan and Gable versus DIY. So fucking good.
We could have had a much better tournament in general if you just put actual tags in it.
That would have been so good. And then, obviously, Joe and Balor beat Amore and Big Cass, because Amore and Big Cass never win shit. They never lose any hype or anything. But they never win shit, so that will make sense. The Mechanics getting a big win over the current tag champs.
Yeah, why wasn't that not built up more?
Exactly, so to be fair, the Mechanics really should have then gone over Ballerina and Joe, because they've already beaten the current champs.
Yeah. So, and also, good job of making your whole tag division look like shit when the champs go out in the first round. Well, you know.
Second round, quarterfinals, mate.
Second round, sorry, do apologise.
Come on. Like I said, they at least let them beat Blake and Murphy first, their long-term rivals, so make them look like shit. No, they couldn't have kept them together, apart until later on the quarterfinals, because they, no.
Basically, they're doing a Scotland and they're going home early.
Ooh! All right. Get some heat. I like it for tomorrow. Good lad. So we could have had Jason Jordan and Chad Gable versus the Mechanics in that final, and I would have been happy with that. With a semi-final of Jordan and Gable versus DIY. Oh, that would have been lovely. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, shall we go back to this actual card instead of
happened? Because we actually have two matches in between to give Finn Balor's knee a rest. The first one is Dana Brooke versus a debuting Oscar.
Yeah.
Or Asuka, as obviously we all thought the name was originally when it was put on the board, if you remember, when it was really going, ah, now it's going to be Ahsoka. And then like Regal or Trips or whatever it was, like said the name, went, oh, okay, it's Banana Oscar, everybody. Now we know. Cool. Yeah, we didn't have a fucking clue. It's like, who knew how to say the word Shinsuke until someone said it? Now, I know quite a few Japanese names. Like, I know it's Daisuke.
True.
No. You know, we all know this now. Why is Emma still accompanying Dana? Like, what the fuck, man?
Can I just point out, Emma versus Asuka would have been a much better match.
It's so weird. It's like, why is she still there?
So, yeah, pretty much a squash match.
It was. Oscar is bonkers and I bloody love her.
Probably in the first, like, this is obviously our first time seeing her in the ring. We're like, huh, she's wearing a thong on the outside.
I made that exact note here, the classic thong over the shorts, where we go, is this normal? Turns out it is. Done it for the past 6 years.
We've not questioned it ever since.
Don't need to. I'd question it more if she changed it gear and it wasn't then. Didn't happen once, and we were like, what the fuck is going on?
I love the fact they've not changed a gimmick in any way, shape, or form in 6 years.
Don't need to. Just let her be weird.
It's the same as Samoa Joe, it's the same with Kevin Owens. The gimmicks haven't really changed that much.
Nah, not massively.
You know, so when something does really work in NXT, and I do kind of keep it the same, bring him still somehow fuck it up.
Yeah.
Baffling. Oscar looked good.
It did. I was more interested in the preamble stuff. They showed matches against Miko Satomura. That was nice. That's now making me dream of that match again. Having a cheeky little Survivor Series league in the dream booking world where all the brands are involved again. They did it with Kaylee Ray, but she's no longer champ.
It'd be interesting to know, make them fatal four-way matches and they've got NXT UK champions with NXT versus SmackDown and Raw. Because in theory, the commentators are now showing the cards.
Who the fuck is this?
It's going to spin the whole logo. Who's this dude?
Who's this one? Who the bloody hell's this one?
I mean, to be honest, I would love to see how the Americans take to Pretty Deadly.
Yes, boy. Interesting. You say it was a squash match. It made me laugh because despite the title of the show, Lee, Dana Brooke is treated with very little respect.
Yep.
She's treated like shit and I enjoyed every moment of it. Oscar wasn't exactly face at any time during the match, but they let her beat up a woman that the crowd definitely didn't like. So she looked like the biggest baby face in the company. It was hilarious. Dana Brooke shouts at the ref, "I know the rules," so I assume she is a regular watcher of World Sport. Classic in jokes. And God bless Oscar for signing at the same time that Nia Jax is about to arrive. Because imagine that landscape if we didn't have Oscar. Just to be our champ forever.
Yeah.
Imagine what would have happened.
Yeah, no, shall we just move on to the next match?
We can. It's Apollo Crews versus Tyler Breeze in a Brooklyn rematch. Breeze obviously loses again.
It's not a rematch.
I thought it was.
Not a rematch. No.
Oh, no, Tyler... he was against Yuji and Thunder Liger, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this is the next step up for Crews, because Breeze is essentially the gatekeeper to the upper mid-card.
Oh, yeah, I still had the right thing of, Breeze lost, so gives you shit.
Yeah. Basically another squash match.
Quite good, though.
Probably my favourite match in the night so far. Looking back of it, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it probably was. Yes. Yeah, you are right. Yeah.
Yeah. Just put Crews on that next level, because If I remember correctly, he had a few matches with Balor after this.
Probably. Well, I assume so, because they're not exactly giving Balor anybody to actually wrestle, are they?
Yeah.
Sticking him as a bloody tag team.
So, yeah, this was like his next level step up, but I'm pretty sure, I'm going to say after the upcoming WrestleMania, he's on the main roster at that point.
They do call him up pretty quick.
So, yeah. Still think they should have given him more time to develop.
Far too soon, mate.
The Tag Team Classic is up next with Joe and Fiend versus Corbs and Rhino.
I am already burnt out.
Didn't give a fuck. I'll be honest, I skipped at least 6-7 minutes in this match.
Like I said, it would have been so much more exciting if it was Jordan and Gable.
And then I'll be honest, didn't really watch the end bit where Cody was presenting the trophy. I was like, yeah.
It is awkward. It's really weird. It's not.
I literally just like pressed down on the thing and skipped to the main event.
It was weird. Yeah.
It was Finn and Joe. Finn and Joe win.
And they do set their precedent that continues for the rest of the Dusty Classics to come.
I'm gonna quote Austin Powers here with my overall thoughts on this tournament. Whoop de doo,
Basil.
Could not give a fuck. Anyway,
so that brings us to the main event, what everything has been building towards: the history-making 30-minute Iron Man match. I believe only the 10th Iron Man match in WWE history. That was also mentioned.
I can only think of 3 previous to that.
And it will be the first time that the ladies are headlining at NXT event. Deservedly so. One could argue they could easily have done it at Brooklyn.
Put it like this. Even that Tag Team Classic minor... Tag Team Classic final went on last, it would have been switched off.
It was dog shit.
And that's essentially when they put Finn in this to try and give him a bit of spotlight.
Probably.
Even though, frankly, it wasn't fucking needed.
No.
They might as well give him the month off.
Yeah, he could have built some Lego, looked at some carbs, but not let him.
Yeah.
Standard.
Great match. I wish I watched this match and then watched the other shit afterwards.
Gone backwards. Yeah, probably. I liked that it was a little cagey at the beginning, because you could tell that it obviously meant a lot to them. So I like that fact that they didn't just go sort of straight into it and kicking shit out of each other. It was kind of feeling each other out.
Yeah, the first 1-2 minutes they were pretty much circling.
Yeah,
which is fine because it did actually build it up and out to it.
Exactly. I like the fact that it's something they don't often do. You know, even when, say, you know, AEW, I'll often have this match has a 20-minute or a 30-minute time limit. You know, it's not going to go that long, is it? And then even if it does, you basically had one fall, then at 27 minutes, people. So if it was an Ironman match, you'd won 1-0, you know?
Yeah.
I like that here they did have believable falls. You know, it wasn't just everyone's kicking out of shit. It was, I'm just going to conserve my energy. I've lost one big whoop. I was even thinking, what would be great if, say, you were 1-0 up, but then you both ended up on the outside.
Yeah.
And I would think, like, a good spot is the person who was 1-0 down was just about to jump back in, so they didn't get counted out. But the other person just sacrificed himself and, like, just grabbed the leg and went, we'll both just lose a point and I'll still be 1-0. Then they kind of did it about like 5 minutes later, and I'd totally forgotten that was one of the falls, and I'm like, yeah, that's some good shit. You know, getting counted out and stuff there, that works. If you'd have done that just in a match before, you'd be like, fuck's sake, so I'm counting out.
Because it worked. Didn't Gargano and Ciampa do this?
Possibly, I think.
Or it might have been with Adam Cole. It might have been Adam Cole and Gargano.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Because there was one spot where he literally just sacrificed his point, but decimated him with a chair.
That would have been one of the 2 out of 3 falls, though, wasn't it? And he got himself DQ'd, wasn't it? I don't think it was an Iron Man. But I know what you mean, but I think it was that, yes.
But that spot could work in an Iron Man match as well, to be
honest. Totally,
fair, so.
Yep. Go on.
I think the best point in this match was Sasha Banks' full boss heel. It's not been matched since.
Well, again, it did just feel like a continuation from Brooklyn.
Yeah, because basically the crowd at the start of the match was very much both these guys.
Yeah, and then terrible women's wrestling champ.
And then Sasha just went full overdrive into heel.
Make it easy for him. God bless her.
That was fucking remarkable, that was.
God bless her.
I mean, I know she caught a lot of heat for it, but Jesus Christ, it was some good heel shit.
It is, man. Oh my God, make it.
And then taking the taking the bow off her as well and wearing it, I was like,
good
shit. I mean, the kid was legit in full tears.
Yeah, but, you know, we don't care about.
Like, she probably loves that shit now, just like, looking back at it and going, huh, I was actually a massive part of the main event.
Isn't it? I
know. I mean, like, the mum and dad were loving it. They didn't really give a shit.
No, I mean, well, they had like that most of the shows. The last 10 minutes were just brilliant. And last 5 minutes, tension that was there, just it was really good. I can't praise that match enough. It's a shame they couldn't book more of a card around it.
The only thing I will say about the main event is because Sasha was already on the main show.
Yeah.
It was a little bit predictable.
It was, but I didn't really feel like that, even watching it back, you know? But I get your point.
This match saved the card in my ratings, barely.
Yes, it's certainly probably gained half a star from what it's
been. Do you want me to give you my final rating?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
And then you can like laugh or go, what the fuck?
Is
getting a 2.5.
Wow. Okay.
Purely based on that main event alone. Wow. So that match gives it a 2.5.
Okay. Going on the other ones, I was probably still giving this... I'd probably still giving this a 3.5 because of the main event, but it could easily win a 3.
Honestly,
I wasn't going 2.5.
I know we're going to end our beginning of takeovers here, and then we're just going to chat shit for the next couple of weeks until we figure out what to do next. This was such a bad note to end it off on Full Sail.
It's almost a shame, like, because that crowd was great again.
It's almost like, we'll give you something to say bye, but we don't want to make it too good so you're not clamouring for it back again.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it was a big shame.
In fairness, I don't remember the next one in London being all that good.
No, it wasn't.
So.
But that had a very weird atmosphere to it because Wembley Arena's a bit shit.
Certainly for that sort of thing, yeah.
I mean, like, it definitely should have been held at Blackpool where we went to the Hell Show. But they did rectify this afterwards by having, like, two fucking takeovers there. So they saw they were in their ways and went...
As well as the UK Championship.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. 2.5 and a bit meh to end the festivities for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Andrew, okay. Luckily a bit more positive.
It's still NXT, so I have enjoyed this a lot more than watching 2003, 2004, whatever it was, apart from Al Wilson and Booker T and Goldust. Anything that those guys were doing, I was watching. And to be fair, RVD, he was a good lad.
You know, he's been down the whole roster at this point. It's going to be anyone but a Hogan.
Oh, God. Yeah, definitely. But, fair enough, Brock and Kurt were all right.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, we did get to that. Well, fair, yeah, so you remember how obviously, you know, last time when we got to Mania, whatever, and we finished on Brock versus Kurt, and we're like, shit, this is why you've made watch the entire year. You know, finally I managed to get to something good. And in fairness, we did get the similar main event in this. It's just the rest of the card is a bit shit for us to end on. It's a shame. But yes, I have no idea what we shall be talking about next time. But you know, do please still tune in. We are Champs Out Loud. That's right. You can find us on Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever you find your podcasts. We are there. Go check us out on the socials, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Champs Out Last. You can follow us on YouTube. Our content is also on there. Like I said, we don't actually have video footage on there, which is probably good, because on the community guidelines, neither of us are wearing underwear, so I don't know if the video would get past the censors. And yeah, we will speak to you next time.
Sound. Peace out.